G'day everyone, and welcome to this episode. And today's guest is Simon Parks, all the way from the UK. Simon, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Delighted to be with you both.
Also, we've got my partner Sol Rita, as everyone can see. Now, Simon, you're in the UK, located. Are you in Whitby? Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
As also, you're the councillor, is it, of that area? Is it the Labour Party?
Yeah, that's right. I don't know how your political system is in Oz, but we have town councillors and we have city councillors. Britain is a very, very complex political system. But if you just imagine that it's a large town, and the large town elects politicians to run that town, and I'm elected to that town.
Yep. You've actually been re-elected a few times, so, and you're quite public about your experiences and who you are. You haven't withheld anything, which shows that, you know, you must be doing a good job there. Plus, people don't really care too much, in the sense that you might be a nut or something, because you've been re-elected. Has there sort of been any repercussions about anything with who you are and your job?
No, not really. I think you're right. People want somebody who's going to fight their corner. I think people all over the Western world are just absolutely fed up with government, and anybody who's a bit different and is prepared to help them, they're going to support that person. I think that wouldn't have been the case 10 years ago. I think humanity has moved tremendously in the last 10 years, maybe even 2 to 3 years. So no, it hasn't become an issue. There are lots of people in the establishment who would like it to be an issue, but it isn't really, no.
Yeah. I think it's just the veils are sort of coming down. The young ones are very smart these days. A lot of them are in tune. Getting into your experiences now and that side of things, talking to Mary Rodwell, I actually know the young fellow who sort of had similar mantid experiences as yourself. I know him personally and a little bit behind the scenes, which got sort of myself and Sol Rita all struck with how people on different sides of the globe are having very similar things happen. Would you mind going into a bit of your background into your experiences and how things sort of started for you? I guess it was, in a way, recall and a conscious connection, but would you mind going into it for the viewers and listeners?
Sure. I guess some people might be familiar with me, but there'll always be lots of people who aren't. My grandfather worked for what was British Intelligence, called MI6, but really he was working for the CIA. And my biological mother, she was working for British Intelligence, the domestic branch, which is called MI5, but really she was working for the National Security Agency of America. So I came from not a military background, but what you would call a spy background or an espionage background. Neither my mother or grandfather were field men or women. They didn't go out and do the spying. Grandfather would sit in his armchair and have meetings. Grandfather met JFK, he met Stalin. He was quite a big mover and shaker. My mother worked quietly at home. Her job was to type out documents that recalled or related to crashed UFO craft that had come down all over the globe. So that was the sort of background. So I suppose when you think of my experiences, it's not that surprising that I would have come from a family like that.
Yeah.
I don't get my memories back in dreams. Most of my memories come back in real time. So I'll have an experience and I'll either remember all of it or just part of it. I do get what researchers call missing time, although I tend to call it misplaced objects, because often I'll start in one room with, say, a cup of tea, because remember I'm from United Kingdom and we love tea over here. We can't do coffee. We're absolutely rubbish at coffee, but we can do good tea. So I might be in one room with a cup of tea, and then something will happen, and I'll think, why am I in another room without my cup of tea? Where's my cup of tea? So a lot of what researchers write, I can relate to that. But I've had memories and recall memories from a very, very young age. Most of the creatures that I'm familiar with, I don't call them extraterrestrials, because to me they don't travel here in real time.
Yeah.
They are extra dimensional. They come by opening a portal, or they're interdimensional entities, sometimes the demonic entities that live between the two dimensions. So that's usually what I'm familiar with. You mentioned Mary Rodwell. Mary is a very good friend of mine. I've got a lot of respect for her. She's a very brave woman. She's very knowledgeable. I'd contacted her originally to talk about some subject about the mantids, as we say in UK, but in America they're referred to as mantis. And I know Mary calls them manta, but as long as viewers and listeners know what we're talking about, we'll be all right. So she recalled to me that there was this young boy who was having experiences very similar to mine, and that his mother and her partner were not handling it very well.
Yeah.
And was there anything that I could do? So basically, it's Mary's ball game, and I'd let Mary get on with it. But, you know, I said, yeah, let them look at the videos. But how I was able to help was there were two experiences the boy had which I could throw some light on. And that was more to help the parents than it was actually to help the boy, because the parents had come in, or the mother had come in and seen the boy in the early hours of the morning, out of bed and doing something which was very upsetting to the parent. So I was able to say, well, actually what he's doing is this, and I was able to recount that. And you're right, because I don't know how many thousands of miles or kilometers there are between Aussie and United Kingdom, but it is fantastic that two people who have never been, never mind the countries, never been to those continents, countries, are having experiences which are absolutely identical. And, you know, that is evidence for anybody who cares to research that. You know, I'm over 50 now, and this young guy, I think, was only something like 8 or 9 years old. So, you know, the evidence is there. People just don't choose to see it, because I suppose for many people it's too frightening. So I did some good there, because I was able to use my experiences to support that family and then let Mary just get on with it.
Well, that's a very important thing, and that's why we do what we do as well. Like, we're both experiences, and a lot of what you say just 100% resonates, and we get the missing time and the multi-facet, I guess, of the lives we're living in, the beings we're connected to with beyond, and have a lot of recollection. With Sarita, she does star languages, and it's funny because she knows Mary well, and it's funny because Mary will hear Sarita do it and then talk to somebody, and this has happened multiple times now, and somebody else in another part of the world speaks almost the identical star language, and Sarita and, you know, this person haven't cross-correlated or talked. So this is where, you know, it's evidence having people on different parts of the globe having the same, you know, things happen, or being able to do the same types of things in recall. Is there anything you want to ask, Sol?
I guess one of the things that I've seen with some of the mantid beings here is there's been a few different colours that we've interacted with, from the golden mantids to the purple and the green. And some people say they've seen brown mantids too. What are your experiences with different colour mantid beings?
Hello, Sol. Well, first of all, it's lovely to see you.
You too, Simon.
That's fine. It's really nice to chat with you. It depends whether people are reading the colour of the auric field around the mantids, or whether they're actually seeing the colour of the skin.
Yeah.
If they're seeing the colour of the skin, then any colour other than green is a group that I'm not familiar with. And I guess, just like on planet Earth, you have different coloured people.
That's
true. So you'll have different groups of these creatures. And all I can say is that they will be interacting with a faction of a group that I'm not interacting with. Green is the prevalent body colour.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are very gifted and they are seeing the colour of their aura, and they're not picking up on the skin. I have heard of other coloured skin-coloured creatures, and why not? Absolutely, why not? So, I'm quite happy to go along with that. I think what I judge is their intentions,
definitely
not what they look like.
Yeah, actually, coming back to the different coloured mantids, I would say my experience is probably more based on the aura, seeing that's what I do for work as well. But talking about conscious recall too, that's
it's
something
more what I've got. I've filmed, got over 1,000 bits of video and footage of orbs, crafts, and other things. So me and Solrita have just been together a little bit, but she's more astral and I get more of the physical. But since we've been together, we've sort of balanced each other out. So I can understand when you talk about the physical and you're seeing what you're actually seeing. And the skin and that type of thing, it's a different matter than the astral, but I give both validity as much as each other.
Absolutely. There is no right and wrong here because, you know, the trouble when you live on a 3D world is that you tend to only value what you can see, smell and touch. Mm. Unless, of course, it's God, because then you don't have to see God and that's perfectly all right to believe in God.
Yeah.
So with aliens, we don't necessarily see them, but we don't believe in them because it's not religion, and that's a problem for the matrix of the 3D established world. But in your case, you've got one person who is connecting with the physical and one person that's connecting with the non-physical, the metaphysical. That's why you're a good partnership, because between the two of you, you have an experience and then you can work it out, and you'll put the two different sides of the, well, not conclusions as such, but you are, my cat's just woken up. You are drawing explanation from what you've seen and felt, and therefore you get much more of a rounded picture. Whereas I don't see orbs, which is a great shame. I do see them, but it's blanked from my brain. So my eyes are as good as yours, but I don't see them. What I was told was that I wouldn't see them in that sense, because otherwise I wouldn't have a normal life. I would be so continually looking for orbs or looking for this and looking for that I wouldn't actually get on with what I was supposed to do.
It's sort of like me, isn't it? I'm dazing.
In your case, it's probably a dream team, in the sense that you are capable of getting to an answer quicker than if you were on your own.
That's been the case. It was actually.
Can I just quickly say? I mean, I'm assuming that your listeners and watchers are. Come on, then, darling. Your listeners and that's Tani, actually. Your listeners and watchers are quite up with this. Sol, you won't mind me saying that you're an incredibly hybridized human.
That's a normal.
I've been telling her that. Yeah, I tell her that every time.
Obviously, that's obviously a compliment.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you consider yourself, your star family, to be from one of the Sirius planets?
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely the star system that I resonate with the most.
But
I've also had experiences with Lyra and Arcturus and Andromeda and Pleiades and Orion.
Right. Okay, because you're carrying what I'd call, you're very obviously, your body very obviously is styled to create or carry from the Sirius system.
Yeah.
But you have feline energy, but you also have some reptilian energy about you.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm sorry, I just wanted to say that I can connect with you because I can see that you have multiple experiences, not just one experience through the lifetime. I'm sorry, please go on.
No, that's true.
It's spot on, and that's where I've sort of got a shield up. I've got the Orion connection with rainbow type beings there, but then I've got the I've got a few other things going on there too as well. There's sort of a interconnection of the areas at the moment. What Sol's information and Mary's information they've sort of got from some things going on. So
I can tell there's
a resonation between the two.
I can definitely connect with what you're saying, and that's what I felt when I watched your interview with Alfred Weber too. And it was interesting, just the, I guess, unconscious communication, I guess I was receiving afterwards, you know, to do with the mantid beings, and even receiving things last night. Last night I actually drew this picture, which was this was more with blue mantid beings. So again, it's probably the aura, the energy field that I pick up, because it's another different color. But that was more to do with hybrid children and with peat nuts. Yes. Yeah.
So Sol does aura drawings for work and psychic work. She's got a lot of different types of things she specialises in. Yeah.
But no, I could really resonate with what you were saying on your other interview too, with your experiences that you've been through. It just felt like something familiar about you too.
Oh, good.
We can recognise an instant connection between you two. On another note, I was living with a friend on a property near Mary not too long ago, and he spoke about something that I have not experienced, and I only know of one other person that has with the mantids, and it was a mantid that was a purplish-blue see-through structure, as weird as it sounds, and it had veins in it with beads of light going through the veins. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
No, I think what you've got there is a creature that's going through an ascension process, or a creature that is enhancing its body with energy, either to be able to pass through dimensions quicker, or it's a much more enlightened being. But that's the only thing I would take on that. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, like I've seen light beings, which are the main types I guess I would interact with, besides some small sort of brown type greys and some, I guess, still light beings or feline type beings as well. But, it's just something that I personally hadn't heard of, and that's Giles, who we've actually had on the show as well. Would you mind going into sort of some of your interactions and how your interactions are with the mantids and also the reptilian side of yourself? I've had experiences with the reptilians. I don't see anything bad or good in the universe. I rather see it as in the service or self-service mode. Some of the reptilians I've interacted with, it's been of a very positive nature, very positive nature. And this is where I tell people, you just can't blanket the whole thing by what David Icke or others say. Though, what I've come to experience lately from the reptilians is that there's nothing bad about them at all, or self-service modus, rather that those that seem to have that persona is more of a possession-type nature of a force behind them. But if anything, I see that they're part of just as much of our background and makeup here, just as much as what some would say Nordics or Orion and Sirian connections, along with mantids and many other beings that are partaking in what's been going on here for a very long time, though time doesn't exist. So if you could go into some of the reptilian and mantid type stuff that is your background and a part of you, it would be great to go into.
Maybe possibly also to add to that, the experiences that you've had, what's sort of been the lesson in that, and what you feel, you know, has helped you grow? I guess as a human being, but also like the ET side too.
Okay. To try and combine the two. A great many of my experiences were designed to unlock my own learning as to who my soul was. And it was done in a way that was gradual. The information given to me was adjudged to have been too much for the human part of me to cope with, if it had all been given in one go. So a lot of the experiences from the age of between 5 and probably 8 were consistent experiences that ran in a regular pattern. So if you think of a soap opera on television, generally speaking, one episode follows from another episode and it tells a story. And so many of the experiences were designed to do that. Other experiences were designed to test me, to test my psychic abilities and to see whether what we could call going into the program, the humans copy it with their MyLab abductions. Mm-hmm. They just copy the alien system, which is to engage with children who have psychic ability, and those that show the most promise, they then work with them. Whereas the humans through their MyLab attempt to do the same thing, but for bad purposes, because they want to be spying on everyone else and using psychic powers to do bad things. So there wasn't just one experience or type of experience unfolding. I would go through maybe 3 to 4 experiences a month as a child. And depending on what the process was, would dictate how that would be. Sometimes an alien would appear in the house, in the room, and would just go straight into my mind. And that's why I call myself an experiencer, not necessarily a contactee. Yeah. So it's much cheaper energy-wise to create something in your mind than it is to physically take you and put you on Mars or where have you. And so a lot of experiences or contactees think that they've been to another planet, or they think they've been on a spaceship, when in reality, in some cases, they've actually been in their own front room or in their own bed, and the feeling experience is so real, they think it's happened. I'm fortunate now, I've been able to, I know the difference normally between one. Right, okay, some experiences with Mantis. One of the fascinating things in my series of talks I did on YouTube was the birthday card, where I had found a birthday card in a gift shop which had my photograph on it, and you've probably seen that video yourselves. And there was no explanation for that, because they didn't give anybody permission to have a photograph of me. And that was either the American Secret Service or the British Secret Service who went ahead and put my picture on a birthday card and put it in the store where I live.
That's true. Because
it was a message to me. Well, actually, somebody from America a couple of months ago emailed me and said there actually are some in the White House or the Pentagon complex, there are some shops which, you know, the guys who are working there can go in, and apparently there is a gift shop there, and about a year or 2 years before I saw it, it was actually there as well, and somebody told me that. So that was really nice. So that was important, because it was the human element saying to me, we're watching you.
Yeah.
It wasn't a threat, it was just, we're watching you. Now, in 1971, why this relates, because in 1971, I had a life-changing experience where what researchers call, I made a soul agreement. As a kid, to me, it was a bargain. I made a bargain with these creatures, but the technical term is the soul agreement. And they just said to me, you know, do you want to be like us? Would you like to be like us? And then said, you know, you can, if you become like us, you'll know what the future is and you'll see what the past is. And I was really excited about that. And so I went for that and said, you know, yes, I really wanted to be that. And part of the deal was, and this is where I think we lose some people who are just coming onto our subject, because what I'm going to say is...
I know. Don't worry.
We listen too much.
This show is... the audience that watch this show will understand, believe me, because I would have lost them on the first episode, because this is the stuff we go into. Yeah. So, yeah. Very fine.
okay. Well, yeah, it was, the agreement was that my soul could be removed from my body on a temporary basis and placed into one of their bodies, and then their soul would be put in my body. It's like a sort of an exchange. Students go on exchanges, don't they? And I was then able to interact. I have five or six memories of that, being in one of their bodies and doing stuff. And I guess this photograph of me on a birthday card in a motor car, in a Rolls Royce, actually. I had the car identified as a Rolls Royce. So that clearly wasn't me in my body. Somebody else was in my body. And you know what? If you want to have some high-level meetings, what better way than to be inside a human, because nobody is going to cause any problems. So that's what's going on there. So the experience with the Mantis came about because I was offered a choice as a probably a seven, somewhere between the ages 5 and 7. I was asked, who do you want to associate with most? Do you want to associate with the Draconis reptilians? They're the white-skinned reptilian. Or with the mantis, the mantid. And I chose the mantid because I felt more connected to them. They were more spiritual and they were not as aggressive. So I made that choice. And from that moment onwards, I would say every 10 experiences I have, only one will be reptilian. 9 will be mantid. You talk about people's perception of reptilians. Again, I'm only speaking for the group that I am very familiar with. And they want the status quo on Earth to remain, which is negative in the sense that it's not allowing humanity to develop. But the problem is for humans to understand that it is a reptilian culture and it's a ceremony. And the culture and ceremony is that the reptilians believe themselves to be superior and therefore they have a right to do what they do. And until the reptilians can get off that and be a little bit more understanding, there will always be a difficulty. So Ike, in my view, is right But in my view, David Icke is all about fear and is all about, you know, this is bad and that's bad. Whereas actually what we need to look on is say that unless we open a dialogue, unless we are more prepared to be understanding, we will never talk. And you only get problems sorted out when you sit round a table and you talk. Unfortunately, we can't trust the human military necessarily to
exactly.
to do that for us. So I think that's why in many cases these creatures are not going through the right channels as they would see it. But they're going to individual people and they're trying to build a groundswell to say, do you know what, there is, there's another take on this. There's another side to the story. So yeah, I do agree with you. I know for a fact that the reptilians are not bad per se, but their culture traps them in a way of being and a way of thinking. And that generally is not positive for humanity because humans are now at the stage where they need to develop and to branch out. So it's a tricky one, that. It is a tricky one, but that's my take on it anyway.
I think you just got to take it. Little bit of everything on board, and you can't throw everything out and dismiss everything either. You just sort of like you said, you've got to have a bit of a dialogue. Everyone sit around the table and sort yeah. of have input, and you know.
And also coming to your own assumptions of things, you know, with your own interactions with them too, are often quite different to, you know, what mainstream media would portray. I know my experiences, a lot of them are different to, you know, what media would say they should be for different types of beings.
Yeah, especially with the little green men thing and the everyone thinking, a lot of people see crafts with solar me and they're expecting a flying saucer or a cigar and, you know.
Windows and doors.
Yeah, it's like this. Some of this stuff just ain't physical stuff, which people have got to try and wrap their head around. So, With things today, how has things progressed for you in with what you do with your life and how you've got a balance between, because it's a very hard thing to have a balance between the experiences because you're having them for a reason and why you're here in this, what some term, 3D world. There's got to be a balance. How hard is that for you and how do you go about that?
No, I'm very fortunate because I've known who I was from a very, very young age. Although I might not have known the intricacies of it. I don't consider myself inside to be particularly human. And that's a problem for me because I need to embrace the human side and I need to love the human side more. I consider myself to be one third reptilian, one third mantid, and one third human. So the human is outvoted. However, the reality is that the mantid and the human half often votes against the reptilian part. And that's the sort of stuff that's going on. So I'm not split personality. I'm one soul with three distinct parts to it. And the advantage there is that I can draw on the star signature or star family grouping in different situations. So if I'm in the council chamber, I might particularly, and I'm debating, I'll perhaps draw on one side. If I'm doing a healing session with a client, I'll draw on another side of that. So it's never been a problem to me because I don't think generally and value the way that the established pattern on earth is. So I really, if I did, I couldn't have gone public. So I've always known that I'm somewhat different and that I have something to do and I really don't care because I know that the truth has got to get out there. So how does that affect other people? Well, other people, if they just read the established news, will have an opinion of me. Then they meet me, and that's good education because now what they've got to do is to balance what they've seen with their own eyes with what they've read in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And that's the difficult for people in their ivory towers, right up in these big tower blocks who never come out of their offices and just write stuff that's just nonsense. You know, I'm in office, stayed in office, because I do what the people want me to do. And it's not impossible to run two lives. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I might be vacuuming the floor and think, you know, why am I vacuuming the floor? Because 3 days ago, I was doing this, that, and the other. But that's the choice we made. When we incarnated on this planet, we chose to come here for a purpose, and that's either for ill or for good. So whatever it is, we decided we would come here and do that. And this is the, and you say the word price, it's the experience. So to, can you survive in the matrix, which is not a good matrix because it's been controlled? Can you survive in the matrix and do what you need to do and, you know, and get by? And that's where a lot of people can't hack it. They can't manage. And I feel desperately sorry for those people because they are usually good souls who just are swamped by the poverty, the violence, the filth, all the evil around them. And they just can't handle that. And so, you know, it is difficult. I agree with you.
You've talked in other interviews about the human part of you being inner earth. Is that right? Would you be able to go into that at all, if I'm correct, about the inner earth human side?
Yeah, yeah, hollow earth, I think.
Hollow earth, yeah.
I know what you mean by inner earth. Yeah, I had to have some human in me.
Yeah.
I did. it had to be, because you couldn't anchor the other two soul frequencies without human energy on there. And so if you were going to choose a human soul to be in this body, you would have to choose one that had made a conscious choice at some part in the future to take itself away from the surface earth, where all the mind control, all the bad stuff was going on. Not because it was running away, but because it had made a choice to go into hiding for a period of time and then come out when the time was right. So I guess that part of me volunteered because it saw it's time to return to the surface of the planet and do what needed to be done. Very difficult, because it had to rub shoulders with possibly something that had been its arch enemy a long time in the past. And that was my own karmic stuff that had to be sorted out. Could three separate parts who didn't necessarily share the same agendas, could they actually survive in one body? And it obviously worked. So yeah, I had my own stuff to do, but that does put me in a very strong position when looking at other people, to be able to support them and help them and to understand what journeys they're going through.
Which, you know, is... You know, we've all got our walk that we've got to do here when we're here. That's sort of been part, major part of what both of Sol and myself do. I do guide sessions and help people connect with their star self, or, you know, their higher self or whatever. Sol does very much the same thing. So that's obviously where part of what your walk is here too, because I've heard you saying before how you can tell people what their part, you know, what their background is, or the, what their actual star family is that correct?
I've just spoke to Sol and
Sorry.
You know, I've done this on radio and we don't know, and you could have turned around, Sol, and said, well, you're just totally off the mark there.
No, I really resonate with what you said.
Yeah. Well, as a child I was able to do that, and I really couldn't understand why most of the people that I met weren't able to do that. So my talks and my conferences really are secondary now. My main work is with people who have been abused by the Illuminati, people who have, as children, been tortured, have multiple personalities, maybe have a demonic possession, you know, maybe have suicide programs placed in them. So those are the sort of people that I can assist. And then we go through to the soft, fluffy end of it, which is, you know, somebody who says, look, for the last 30 years, I really haven't felt part of, you know, humanity. I really feel different. I never really join in, and I need to understand why that is. Now, that's really positive, because then I can say to them, okay, well, to me, this is who you are. This is where your strengths are. This is where you should, you know, you're denying stuff. You need to actually connect. Half the problem is that if a person's soul does not connect with their brain, their organic matter, then they're not accepting who they are, and they don't open a channel, and they're always almost like two people. So that's another thing that I'm able to do, and I'm really glad to help people. I think it's really good. In the early days I didn't charge for it, and it was got to the point where I couldn't run my day job and do this as well, so I gave up the day job And people say, you don't charge very much money. And I say, no, because I don't think you should be charging a lot of money. So I just make enough money to tick along. But I couldn't run the day job and do all this as well. It was just too much.
Yeah, it's a similar situation to what we've had as well. Yeah.
And it's good. Yeah. We need people all over the world doing this sort of work. And especially now in the times that we're in too.
Yes. Yeah, so I think this, you know, anybody who is connected to the planet knows that we are reaching a crunch point, and it's round the corner now, and it will be in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
That's what's so exciting. And I say to people, anybody who's alive on the planet now, you're here for a reason, whatever that is. And it's the most exciting time because you are in on not the end of something, but the beginning of something.
Yeah.
You know, the end of the old ways and the beginning of the new ways. So, yeah, it is a fascinating time, but it's going to be a bumpy ride. It has been, and it's going to get more bumpy.
Well, it's part of clearing up the baggage and going in the new direction, and with that is great change. So this is where, you know, everyone's saying love and light, and it's like, no, you know, it'd be great to project that, but we've got to be realistic and have a balance here. And things that, like you said, are going to be bumpy for quite some time because we're going in a new direction. If it was easy, we would have done it already as a collective and individually within ourselves. So it's a great point to make there. What would you like to ask?
I just wanted to ask what your feel is or what information you've received or any sort of feeling at a soul level of where you think that we're heading as humanity and as the Earth.
Well, the 21st of December 2012, the deal was done. We needed that crucial number of around 3 million humans to have made that conscious leap, and otherwise the Earth would have just shrugged us all off the back. We got 3 million, so that went through. We also stopped the collider, the CERN device, from trying to jump timelines, so that didn't work. So from that moment onwards, we were on what I would consider a positive timeline for humanity. It doesn't mean that the bad guys just sat back. We've had so many things happening. They're more than distractions. They are attempts to cash in their chips while they still can. Where do I see it going? Well, I think it's going to all depend on the military, because there are an awful lot of people in America who are not happy with the way things are going. And well, if you go back to 9/11, I'll give an example. In 9/11, I just call it the explosion at the Pentagon. I won't say an aeroplane crashed. I'll just say the explosion at the Pentagon. The point of the matter is that the part of the Pentagon that was damaged belonged to the United States Navy. Now, the United States Navy has always played a key role in the alien agenda from the very, very early days when Forrestal was the Minister of Defense. The Navy has always asserted itself because one of the admirals in the early stages got in on the act. But the Navy, which incidentally deals with a reptilian group called the Raptors. Was that the Air Force? Oh, well, I don't remember. But anyway, what happened was that the explosion that occurred in the Pentagon occurred at the department where the Navy is based, and that was a warning to the Navy, because even back then, the Navy was beginning to say, no, we're not playing these games. Now, that's increased tremendously now, where a lot of these elite organizations are absolutely split down the middle. Because they don't want World War III, put it bluntly. So as long as the humans can step up to the plate and put the life of the planet and the consciousness beyond their own ends, then we have got a good result coming up for us. So I am positive. I do believe that it's going to be a very interesting and eventful end, but we have to go through that. So I don't believe in doom and gloom. I'm sometimes knocking people off my Facebook because they only want to tell me about bad stories. And, you know, there's lots of good stories out here, and there's lots of good people doing stuff. And we've just got to believe in that. And to forgive, that's my phone, I'll just turn it off.
You're all right.
To forgive and to have love is the only tool that the negatives can't manipulate. If you have a demonstration and you're throwing rocks and bottles, they love it. But if you're just sitting down then they're really the establishment don't like a peaceful demonstration. So love and forgivingness is actually the strongest weapon that people have. And I think we need to perhaps get that across a little bit more than we have done.
Yeah. No, I agree with a lot of what you've said, and it's this time that people start taking some self-responsibility and it's create your own reality time, and especially after 2012, I agree with what you've said there as well, because there was a change, and even what's happened with the 3 million, how you'll put it, it's actually resonated and worn off on the rest of people, where even the average Joe that's not into what we're talking about or experience what we're talking about, they're still open to it. Or well, now they're open to it compared to before, where they would have had a block up. It's funny that you mentioned the Navy, because, you know, you got people like Bob Lazar where their paychecks were from the Navy even though he worked at Area 51. Yeah. I've taken photos of grey stealth helicopters which my neighbours and people had witnessed here in Australia, which were like made out of one piece of metal, almost like moulded. And later I found out that the UK Navy gave these to the Australian Black Ops from a very high person in the Australian military, Air Force here, which I actually showed he was out of the loop, because I'd taken the photo before he said we even had these. But it was just funny that the Navy, the UK Navy, gave us some stuff, and we keep on hearing about the Navy in the United States, which have got to do with a lot of UFO-type things. You know, you'd think it'd be the Air Force or CIA or something like that, but the Navy keeps on coming up, which is very interesting. Anything you want to go into, Doc?
Maybe just if you have a favourite experience that's happened, or, you know, something that you feel, you know, you really gained from or gained some understanding.
I think the one I gained the most understanding from would be experiences of the Garden of Eden, seeing that time, and comparing what I saw as truth with what had been written in the Bible, and being quite surprised at how accurate the Bible was in many lines. And that was actually quite surprising. So that was my favourite experience, because it helped me to finally accept something about myself. In terms of exciting experiences or experiences that were knowledge building, I think that would really be around the 1971 experience of all things, where I was, I believe I was away for 2 days because I had to sleep. And then I was put into what I would call a dentist's type chair, but I now know it to be the chair for a pilot of a spacecraft, because the pilot of a spacecraft will be connected by his or her DNA and neurons into the chair. It's the only way. If you're traveling at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,000 times the speed of 3, 4, 5, 6 times the speed of light, you can't reach out and press a button and say, I want to turn left now. You know, the Star Trek image is just impossible.
You have a symbiotic relationship where the craft and the
have things one. Absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt, but this is very similar to the chair that I travel in when I
go. That's
really
cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I've drawn down everything that I've ever remembered, and I have hundreds and hundreds of drawings now. How I would describe it, and that's why the film The Matrix was so near to the truth, because in that one there, people are plugged in, basically. These facilities or craft are controlled by an artificial intelligent computer, and when a human is involved, the human doesn't think fast enough for the computer, so there has to be a device that steps down the process, because otherwise your brain would explode. So in my case, I was sitting on the chair. There was a device that would slow down my, speed up my processes, so that when that went to the main computer, it could cope with it, and anything coming the other way was slowed down, so I would get that. And I had to be connected by what I recall like spaghetti. It was like strands, what we call that fiber optics now. Now, whether that was physical or whether that was on my etheric body, I couldn't tell you because it felt very real. But that was exciting because I was sat in front of a viewing screen and then given scenarios to deal with, because I was being tested to see if I would make sort of decisions that might be beneficial or not. So that was exciting because I must have passed because I didn't get kicked out of the program. I once met a guy who had done the sword experience, and this is with the reptilians. You're taken in your physical body and you're given a long sword, and you have to throw the sword up in the air so it spins in the air above you, and you mustn't run away. Now, your natural reaction is the sword is falling is to move away, and you're out of the program if you do. What you have to do is to catch it by the hilt and then hold the sword up. And if you do that, you pass that stage and you go on to another stage. So the reptilians have a tremendous ritual and ceremony when working with humans, particularly human children, to progress them through a particular program. And it might be that you might want, they might want you to be a warrior, it might be you want to be a healer, it might be you want to be somebody who carries messages, whatever it might be. There will be different avenues that they put you on. And so I can talk to someone and hear their experiences, then I will know what program they were actually on. So yeah, it's a very complex subject, and you know, it's something that unless you have experienced yourself, it's very hard to get your head around all of the subject.
No, it's very spot on, and that's what I say to a lot of people. I don't expect them to believe myself or Sol if they haven't experienced it. And I think even if they did straight up, I think it's a little bit ignorant on their side in the terms that what a lot of the problems we have with humanity today is a belief system where I don't, you know, we believe in a Bible or whatever without experiencing it or without a lot of evidence for it, rather than people believe it. And it's because we all believe something, we have a lot of walls. It's a belief system, which is, I think skepticism is good because you're in a human body, you've got to have that balance. But I think belief straight up is a bit of a problem. I want to spin you out just quickly, Sol. What do you get on, Simon? Because I do this every now and then with Sol. Sol does like the aura drawings as we've mentioned, and she's done a few aura drawings on the show. You could even do one now if you wanted to for Simon. But what do you get? Like, do you want to do an aura drawing? Would you mind that, Simon?
Would you like
that?
She can actually, we could scan it and send it through to you as well.
Oh, that would be cool.
You know, start too.
Yeah. I've heard in a couple of other interviews that you've done, Simon, you've gone into what's going on or what we're to expect in 2016 and 2017. Would you be able to elaborate a bit more on that in terms of what, I guess is like, I hate the term prophecy or anything, because what that usually is sort of going by the energies of things at the time, what, you know, a probable outcome is, and there's multiple timelines and things all happening at the same time. But where do you think things are going, even though we've touched on it? Would you be able to elaborate a little bit more on that?
There are two things that are going on. The first thing is that a group of people want to ascend, and when I use the word ascend, I don't mean the New Age take on it. I'm meaning actually evolve and to embrace higher values. And there's another group that don't want that at all and quite happy with the way things are and want to keep it that way. Now, those two diametrically opposed forces are now on a collision course. For years and years and years, they've run parallel on the railroad tracks, but now they are hitting each other. It's rather like somebody who's high vibration going into a room where there's somebody with low vibration. Neither of you can stay in that room for very long, okay? And this is what's happening, but on a national or a global level. So something's got to give, because otherwise the place will be shaken to pieces, because you just can't stay in this situation for much longer. So you probably familiar, and your listeners or viewers will be familiar with what happened with the Georgia Guidestones, and that's a very interesting way that the elite can put messages out in such a way as to say, we are not telling you what's going to happen, but we're just showing you a possible way forward. My own view is that there will be some form of conflict. There has to be some form of conflict, because you don't get anything unless energy has been expended. So energy has to be expended. The conflict won't come from people who want change. The conflict will become from those who don't want to move from their position of power. I predict one elite organization after another going down, like a load of dominoes tumbling down, one bringing down another. Not all in one go. You won't wake up Monday morning and find the world's changed, but what you will find is one organization's gone to the wall. 3 months later, another organization goes to the wall, and there will come a point where a number of people, excuse me, high up in the political angle will jump ship. And it will reach that balancing point where you can't stop it. Now, the question is, those people with most to lose. So if I'd been involved, and I wasn't, but if I was involved in 9/11 or any of the terrible things like that, the last thing I want is to be standing in front of a court. So I don't want to be in a position like that. So what am I going to do? I'm either going to go off planet, and that's quite possible, or I'm going to fight my way here. I'm going to hide underground. Yeah. And these are the options. I did a wonderful conference, wonderful because there were so many enlightened people. And I met somebody from the Knights Templars who, you know, offered me an underground bunker if I needed it, no charge. That was very kind of him, but I'm not buying into the fear factor. But he did also offer me armed guards, 24 hours a day armed guards and armored vehicles. This is a particular arm of the Illuminati that doesn't want the world blown up and can actually see some of this crazy mindset of these people who will say things like, well, if I can't have it, no one else will. So I'll kill a lot of you if I can't have power. And there are people like that.
Yeah, I've experienced both arms of that too over here, funnily enough. Is there anything you can talk publicly about? This is weird stuff in terms of just people or experiences you've had in the position that you're in the Labor Party, whether it's going to places or just anything weird that's you might have been skeptical about or just weird people. And then
I don't know what you mean by weird. What do you mean?
Well, I guess
weird?
This whole thing is weird and normal as it is. Actually, people like yourself and Ellis Taylor make me feel sane. So, because I know that you're having similar experiences. That's, you know, it confirms a lot for me. But just places, you know, maybe you shouldn't have been allowed or places you weren't allowed to go.
Well, the system will often let you go to places because a particular arm of that organization is trying to support you. I mean, again, I've covered it as well as I can on my videos where I was getting an awful lot of attack from established media who were hell-bent on trying to make me out to be some crazy nut. And then the complete game changer when the British Ministry of Defence invited me to tour their space radar base. And I went and walked around that for 3 hours. And that just completely pulled the rug from under the media's feet, because here was a guy who said his mum worked for MI5, his granddad worked for MI6, he sees aliens. And here we are, the official media, trying to make him out to be some sort of crazy nut. And then suddenly he's allowed to tour around a space radar base, which actually wasn't British, it's run by the Americans, it's the NSA base in Britain. And it's at Fylingdales. And people Google that, they'll get a good image of it. So that completely changed the attitude of the media. And I had a number of phone calls from directors and producers of radio shows and TVs saying, we don't know what to make of this, because we were told to make your life difficult from one arm, and now the other arm is giving you a pat on the back and letting you do that. And as a sign of how much it changed, in May of this year, we got a new Pope, and the Pope made that big statement on his acceptance speech that he would baptize aliens. So the BBC then phoned me at 6 o'clock in the morning and said, you know, we want an answer to this, a reply. And the first person we thought of was you. Now, prior to that, you know, they wouldn't have come near me at all. So that's the change that can occur, and that changed because somebody very, very high up in the British military, but really the American military, said, let's give this guy a helping hand, let's give him access to a secret base. And I was the only non-military person there, well, there was one other, But everyone else was serving in one of the armed forces. And of course, at the end of it, I tell the lovely story when I was presented with this little, it's like a commemorative coin. And I will just tell that for the because it's really lovely. We've been there 3 hours. The guy realised we'd overstayed our time and wanted us all to go. Well, I know in Australia, same in Britain, the Boy Scout movement's quite big. So lots of people there are in the Boy Scouts, so they'd like to give them pendants and badges, and they give them free, and they say, you know, you can sell those and raise money for the Scouts. So I was standing there next to the cabinet, and there were these four beautiful, a bit like your old $5 coins. You used to have $5 coins in Australia?
Way before our time, but yeah, we had that, yeah.
I've been given one, and that's why I know that. So a big one like that. And they had four of them in different colours. And I said to the guy who was in charge, oh, they're really nice. And he said, yeah, he said, they are really nice, but we can only give them to serving to generals or presidents or prime ministers. We present them because he said, this year we've been here 50 years. 50 years on British soil with a radar. And he said, you know, it's a commemorative year. The Americans make them. He said, they've only made 500 in the world, and I have to present them. I can't, like, you know, give them away. And there was two other guys with me, and I said to him, well, couldn't you present one to me? And the two men next to me sort of burst out laughing, and the guy said, yeah, I don't see why I can't. So he said, which one would you like? So I said, well, I'll have that one. And he presented. He said, there you are, I present it to you. He said, you're going to have to give me a contribution, because he said, we've been paying for them, but the Americans authorized them. So I said, look, well, I'll give you a donation. He said, because even when, he said, generals come here, we want money off them. Because he said, they're incredibly expensive. So I gave him £10. I don't know what that is in dollars. £10.
30 bucks or something, yeah.
Okay, and I said, you know, that goes towards your welfare fund or whatever. And the two guys next to me also took out their money to get one, and the guy just closed the box, put it away, and then said, everybody out. So I was the only one of a party of 15 people to be presented with this, and I keep it to this day. And it's number, I think it's number 48 of a series of 500. And the guy did say to me, okay, I have to take your name and the number. He said, it's illegal to sell it. You can only pass it on to your next of kin, because it's not your property. It is the property of the Americans, but you can have it because we've presented it to you. So, you know, there's an example of one arm of the establishment supporting me. So it's a very complex game that's going on. Very complex.
Yeah. Before with that comment about you and Ellis Taylor make me feel sane, I just want to let you know that's a compliment, because there's stuff that you guys go through that I listen to you guys and go, shit, I experience the exact same thing, and you do question sanity sometimes. Just while mentioning that too, both yourself, Ellis, and myself, we're all going to be featured soon in the documentary called Don't Mention the Reptilians. There's trailers up of Simon and myself and Ellis are talking in that documentary. So just for the viewers and listeners, be on the lookout for that, because that should be out very soon. What I want to mention quickly too is you've got a book that's in the works or has been done, because I spoke to Mary about this and she did the foreword for it. It was very good to hear her say, if I'm correct, that somebody wanted you to pull the stuff about the MI5 or MI6 out of it, but you wanted to keep it in it. When would we expect to be able to get our hands, or is this still in the pipeline, or what's going on with this?
Yeah, I wanted to go down the official publishing route with it, and that was the problem.
All right.
There were a number of publishers who weren't prepared to touch it. There are a couple of people on board now, and at a pinch I'll self-publish it, but that isn't really what I wanted to do. I wanted it to go onto Kindle, I wanted it on Amazon, I wanted it to really be out there on a wide accessible level, which if you self-publish, to my knowledge, you can't really do
well,
that.
Well, I self-publish, and I'm actually on all that through self-publishing.
Well, then you need to send me an email and tell me what to do.
Well, I'll tell you and everyone what to do. You go to lulu.com, and they will do the whole thing for no charge at all. The whole thing. I've got 6 or 7 books now sold. I just got Souls done, and it's in, I think, over 50 countries now in 10 languages through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So, Kindle, PDF, ebook format. So I'll send you through a link.
Still send me an email.
I will, mate. Yeah, definitely. I'll do that.
It's just when I went through the official channels, it was very much a, well, we don't know whether we can touch this and we have to ask permission. And it was just a waste of my time, really. And so it's all written, but it's not actually, you know, published.
Yep, no, that's fine. I'll send you through the link.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Can I see what you've done now, Sol, because you finished?
Yeah.
I'll just hit you with the microphone out. So it was just a quick one. Usually I can take up to an hour or half an hour during these.
That's interesting.
So we've got some hybrid children down the bottom. So there's more mantid-like beings, and then there's more sort of humanoid-looking type hybrids. And then you've got the open channel at the top, which I really feel is connected with this portal energy. So I've written, I don't know if you can see, it says portal gatekeeper, connector and information bringer. And then we've also got open channel, your heart is connected, which is really important, especially with, you know, what you are here to do with humanity as well. It's so important to have that heart energy intact. And then I've also got, I could see more red, like as we were going on talking, I could see like red around here, which is like the passion and drive connected in order to keep that determination and, you know, keep driving through that goal that you've been given. But yeah, we've got lots of green and blue. I feel like the mansion energy around. I could feel like some of the reptilian energy around as well. But I could also see that, you know, the mantid energy being more dominant than that. But yeah, this beautiful gold coming in was just so strong. And I could really see how you bring it down and anchor it on Earth in what you do. Yeah.
Thank you.
Was there any questions that you had to ask with that? Because that's sort of a very quick rundown.
No, that's fine. If you would be very kind when you get 5 minutes and scan that and send it to me, that'd be lovely.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I might run up a bit extra too.
Okay.
She usually takes about an hour doing that with clients, so it's just a quick overview, and the viewers and that, there will be a link at the bottom of this video to Sol as well as Simon.
Also, I must say the thing that stood out the most was this in the top corner, this the portal.
Okay.
The white—it's like a white disc, because this is actually the image that I got after watching your first show, was something similar. And what it was like bringing information in from one world and down into our world. So it's bringing information or stepping it down from sort of a super conscious level into, I guess, the realm that we're living in now. Does that make sense to you at all?
It makes incredibly good sense.
Yeah, that was one of the main things that stood out.
Yeah. So, do you get a block on me, Simon, at all?
A block? What do you mean by that?
I don't know. Just you and Sol resonate so much. I can see and feel it. And even, like, we were talking about this before the show. I was like, there's a connection straight up with you guys. I just didn't know if you got a block on me or not.
No, it's when you have a star connection that has...
I know. You just
traded with a particular group, then you will know that group and you will identify with it. Your group is quite interesting because you've made a complete change to your view. You've actually completely swapped around from your initial view, and you've become. You're catching up for lost time now. That's basically what you're up to.
You are bloody spot on, mate. Yeah. You are spot on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're spot on with that. Is there any links or websites, or have you got anything in the public domain that people can go to?
Yes.
You do?
Okay, hurrah. I'm not very good at pushing it because it's not what I do, but I've given in at last, and I have a website that's now up. It's under construction, but people can go in, and some of it's there. And if they just put in simonparks.org and Google or what have you, they'll find me. So right. simonparks.org, that's my website. And what I'll do there is there's links to most of my shows that I've done. Forthcoming events, I'm doing a tour of Great Britain. And we've got five venues, hopefully, we're going to. And if people want to look on my website, they'll see that that's the, let me see, I've even had to write this down because I wouldn't remember it. The Ascension Roadshow, okay, that's what it's called, the Ascension Roadshow, going to five different places in Britain, and there are going to be lots of speakers. I'm going to be one of the speakers there. So the the website will be a focal point for me, because what was happening were people were contacting the town hall, the city hall, and saying, can we speak to him? And I think they get fed up with it, because these people aren't voters, because they're coming from all over the world. And so I thought, I'm going to have to give in and have a website. So I've got a website, and I hope that people will contact me. There's a place there where they can put a message. And that's what it's about. It's about connecting with people. I love to hear people's stories. There are people who don't need my help, but just want to tell me what they've experienced. And unlike some of these super people in America who make a big name for themselves, make huge dollars, and then they turn their back on the grassroots. And I personally read every email that I get sent from people, and I try to reply. Sometimes I get lost with them all, but you know, that's it, because I want to stay connected. And some of these big people, we won't mention their names, they don't bother to reply unless you're a producer of a television show or somebody can do them a big deal. And, you know, where's the spirituality in that? You know, that's become about money, not about working with humanity. And so a lot of people start off good, but they get off the path. And I'm absolutely determined to stay on the right path. And by connecting with people, whatever those people are, I think that's a really great way to remind yourself that at the end of the day, we're all equal, and that's what it's about, I guess.
Now, fantastic. We'll wrap it up there, and I'll just say, look, thank you for being on the show very much, because I've had some big names not even want to bar of me just because of exactly what you were just talking about. And this show is for the people, and you know, that's how I've wanted to do it. I don't get any money in doing this, and it's just to get information and so we can network. I hope you and Sol stay in touch as well, because I do feel this connection. I've been saying it to her for like a week now. It's just like there's a connection on another friggin' level here. And yeah, I'll send you through the scan document that Sol's done too, and put links up.
That's just what I was going to say too. When you're talking about, you know, like a resonance between if you have sort of similar star heritage, a lot of the time I feel almost like an unconscious communication that's happening on another level at the same time. Yeah.
Yes. Well, the interesting thing is that Sol is struggling with the 3D matrix. You know, it's obvious to me that there is a delay, there's a time delay while you're interpreting 3D information and 3D feelings and emotions. You're not getting it straight away because you're having to process it through a different system, and you don't want to get it wrong, because in the past you've got it wrong and it's made. You know, I can understand people talking to you and getting what we say in Britain, the wrong end of the stick. And misinterpreting what you're saying. So that is a classic sign of somebody who hasn't been on the earth for many times before.
Yeah, that's spot on. And also, Pete and I have both got dyslexia, but having dyslexia in school, I used to say to the teacher, well, I don't, you know, doing your times tables, things like that. I'm like, I can't work like that. I need to add them all up and then put them into almost the computer. Yeah. So
Well, that's three of us. That's three of us round the table then who've got dyslexia. So, but the point, but why that was to protect us.
Yeah.
Because if you have that, you cannot be force-fed information in the same way that somebody who's able-bodied can. So it was a protective device.
Yeah. That's true. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and speaking with us today. It's been great to meet you over Skype.
Lovely. Well, keep in touch, both of you.
Yeah, you too.
You know, you've got my email, and I hope, and we'll just... I can't ever come to Australia because I'm terrified of flying, but I did do the exopolitics, and I was there by Skype. In Australia, and I did the presentation there. So I'm happy to do presentations by Skype, but I can't ever jump on an aeroplane. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Well, we're looking at going to the States next year. I'm sure, you know,
we want to get up. I want to get over there later on. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Well, again, Simon, thank you very much, mate. And it's muchly appreciated.
Lovely. Nice to see you both. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.